Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
How many of you know that Yahweh is good? He is good. You know, last week I did not actually state the subject of these two lessons because Pastor Tom will be back next week. But the subject of the lesson is the kingdom resurrected. Shaul said that as long as he was in this tabernacle, he would stir up the saints and put you in remembrance. Yahweh has said to me that I am to do the same. Certain aspects of our society is going off the scale. And because of that, the church world also is spinning out of control. Now everybody is a believer no matter what you do. No matter what kind of evil you support, you okay. Many people are going to wind up in hell based on these doctrines. But you see, the whole idea is they have so cowered the preachers down that the preachers are afraid to tell the truth. Hallelujah. And so the bold men of the early church, like Kepha and Johanan, and these men who would speak the truth in the face of death, this church has changed. Now, last week, I gave you a little history lesson. How many of you like history? Most people say history is boring. Far from it. History is exciting and enlightening. I told you about Arius and Athanasius, and I also told you about Constantine, the emperor of Rome. And what we found out is that Constantine, a man who was not saved, called forth the Council of Nicaea because he saw this rift in the church, the rift between Athanasius and Arius over who Yeshua was and is. And so Athanasius says he's of the same substance as Yahweh. And so therefore they came up with this doctrine of the Trinity. There's three distinct separate gods dwelling in one Godhead. They agree to agree. And Arius said, Yeshua is of a lower order because he was created later on. And both of them was wrong. Now remember, this is supposed to be the church in this kind of confusion. But this is not the apostles' church. This is the church that has covered the truth. And now they are debating over stuff that had been settled by the apostles long ago when they founded the church. And this eventually evolved into Catholicism, the Catholic Church, which by most estimation killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people, making people convert to what they believe, taking the whole known world of Europe into the Dark Ages, 1,200 years. And when Dark Ages simply mean ignorance. Galileo was excommunicated because he believed the world was round. And the Pope said the world was square. Because he said he read in the Bible the four corners of the earth. And so all of this was happening. The true church is buried beneath the debris of lies and obfuscation, meaning confusion. But the Bible said in Yeshayahu that the way would be so plain that a fool would not err in the way. How is it that now in 325 AD, we have all this confusion? It's because truth is not there anymore. Now, the reason the subject is the kingdom resurrected, remember Yeshua said last week that beginning with John the Baptist, Johannan the Baptist, the kingdom had suffered violence, and the violence has taken it by force. And remember, the apostles kind of repeated the same thing. But they were very careful to lay down the principles and the doctrines of truth so that when the church was resurrected again, it could know what is true. And you say, Apostle, are you saying that the church just went away during that time? Yeah, I'm saying that. The church of the apostles did not exist in 325 AD, and the church of the apostles is just being resurrected in these past many years. Now, there was partial resurrection. When I say resurrection, it's talking about resurrecting the truth, about what it means to be saved. There was partial resurrection when they began to believe that the Holy Ghost is here and folks that receive him is speaking in tongues. That has been resurrected. But it's just been recent time that the total resurrection happened. And that was when the name of Yeshua, the original name of our Savior, was bought back. And we have been responsible for a portion of that. You say, well, you're saying you all are the only one? No, there are others. But we are the only organization that has bought back the name of Yeshua. Now, you say, why do it make a difference? Because the Bible said the name of Yeshua is above every name, and at the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow. The Bible said Yeshua is the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Huh? Yeshua said, anything you ask in my name, I'll do it. And anything you ask in my name, the Father will do it. Now, if we're asking in another name, he's not going to do it. And if he's asking in another name, the Father's not going to do it. So I want you to follow me today. We are going to talk a little bit about this, about what the kingdom believes and what the kingdom stands for. So let's go, if you would, to Yohanan, you would call that John. Now, don't get mad because I'm using the true Hebrew terms, because we can't get to where we need to go until we realize that the Bible was not written in English. And realize that the European was a very late participant in history. The Europeans were living in caves. That's where you get the idea of the caveman. Africa and Asia was not living in caves. But now they have come into existence in 325 AD, and now they have infiltrated the church, and now they are bringing forth damnable heresies. But let's find out what Yeshua believed the church stood for and what we should be standing for today. Let's look at Yohanan 4. If you have it, say Amen. Now, what we're going to be talking about is the woman at the well. How many of you have read that? You remember the woman at the well? How many of you understood really what the objective was for Yeshua to go through Samaria and meet the woman at the well? Let me give you a little history. It has only been in recent years that women had any credibility in society. It's not their fault. It's just that men dominated. And in the historical sense, women had no rights, period. And in Yerushalayim, in Yehudim, women did not have right to even get a divorce. The man controlled the woman entirely. The woman was a subject. She was chattel. She was something that he owned. And so women was counted less than men. Yeshua's point was to change that concept. Not only was his point to change the concept, his point, because the Samaritans was what the Yehudim considered half-breeds. And so they was racist against these Samaritans. I would give you their true name, but you wouldn't remember it. And so if a Yehudim, which you call a Jew, was going to make a trip, he would go miles out of the way so he would not have to go through Samaria. He would not have to even be in the presence of these low-life Samaritans. They were too important to be subject to the presence of Samaritan. Have you ever got on the bus and the person got up and walked away? That's the same idea. I want to have no dealings with these low-life Samaritans. We are better than the Samaritan. Yeshua needed to speak to that and to let everyone know that the kingdom, in the kingdom, there is no racism. Huh? There is no misogynist. that we are all God's people, we who come to him. And so he goes into, the Bible said in the fourth word, and he must need go through Samaria. In other words, he had to go through Samaria. And he went to Samaria and he went to the well that had been given to Yosef by Yaakov. And the seventh verse there says, then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Now, under the true relationship with Yehudim and Samaritans, and when I say Yehudim, I'm talking about what is called today the Jew. There is no such word in the Hebrew, and that does not make me anti-Semitic. It makes me Semitic. Because I have the true name. There's no such thing as a Jew. There's no way to write Jew in Hebrew. There is no J in the Hebrew language. Y'all ready to go to school? Maybe this is college. But it's so plain that everybody can understand it. Then cometh the woman of Samaria. Yeshua sort of walked away. You're going to have something to do with this low-life woman? Not only is she a Samaritan, but she's an adulterer, an adulteress. She's had seven husbands. You know, I wish I could have saw that woman. She must have been some kind of beautiful woman to get seven men, and some women can't get even one. I wish I could have seen her. Sometimes I think when I'm just meditating, I would have liked to. I hope that Yeshua has a film of the past. Because some things I want to see. I just simply want to see it. But rather than Yeshua getting up and walking away, Yeshua said unto the woman, give me to drink. In other words, give me a drink of water. Now the woman was shocked. Oh! See, now she's thinking, wait a minute, something going on here. No, he must be hitting on me, because this don't make no kind of sense. And here's what she said to him. She said, then said the woman, and I'm going to skip the eighth verse because the eighth verse says, for his disciples was gone away unto the city to buy meat. Well, if you notice, that's in parentheses. That means that was added. It has nothing to do with the original. It was added because the translator thought it would give you a better understanding. Some things they add don't give you a better understanding. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Yehudim, ask a drink of me, which is which am a woman of Samaria? She said, what's going on here? How are you a Yehudim who despise and hate Samaritan, why are you asking me for a drink? So what she was really saying, you must be hitting on me. Because you know you ain't got no business talking to me, a woman of Samaria. Because she said, but the Yehudim have no what? No dealing with Samaritan. Yeshua answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of Yahweh, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now look what he did. He bought the Samaritans into the fold. You are not less than the Yehudi. If you knew who I was, you would simply ask me. Now Samaritans can be saved. The Yehudim thought God would not have anything to do with Samaritans. But he said, if you had asked me, I would have given you living water. And the woman was like, yay, Lord, give me that. So what Yeshua did is confront, not only did he confront this idea that women are less than men, but he confronted the idea of racism. That all people are created the same. Some of them lived in Asia and took on a look because of their environments. Some lived in Africa and took on a look because of their environments. Some lived in Europe and took on a look of their environment. Some lived in South America and took on a look of their environment, but they all came from the same source. If I do anything else in my last years on this terra firma, I'm going to make sure that I preach this till people get it. Until people get it. There is no such thing as race in God. There is no such thing as ethnic groups in God. Now, the person don't change their looks. Their families don't change. But what does change is their concept of who they are. See? I am African-American in the flesh, but I am truly a son of Yahweh called in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. And anybody else who's saved is going to have to be the same way. I told you I was going to take you on a trip. Now, the apostles understood this. They got that understanding. When Yeshua went to that well and spoke to that woman, it said they came, when they got back, they saw him talking with this woman. And they wondered what was going on. But they were scared to say anything. You know how sometimes you don't want to answer, so you don't ask the question? But what Yeshua's action was explicit of what he believed. Now, Romans 10. Are you already studying with me this morning? There's no sense. All you're going to do if you go home is watch TV. Am I right or wrong? Romans 10, 11. So the apostles understood this, and so they wanted to make it perfectly clear. Remember last week I said Yeshua made it perfectly clear of what the faith was all about. And he emphasized the name and the word. You remember that? That you're not saved by somebody, by some preacher. You're saved by belief in what the word said. Now, Romans 10, 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Who is whosoever? It's whosoever. It's anyone who will. Anyone that believe on him, no matter who they are, no matter what ethnic group they are, will not have to be ashamed. They'll be saved like anybody else. How many of you agree with that? Now watch the 12th verse. For there is no difference between the Yehudim and the Greek. And the Greek stood for all Gentiles. The Yehudim stood for the Yehudim, which we call Jews. There is no what? There is no. There is no. There is no difference. They look different. They act different. But in God's sight, there is no difference between the Yehudim and the Greek. For the same Yeshua, when we say Lord, that's what it means, over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh or Yeshua shall be what? Saved. Shall be saved. There is no what? There is no difference. Now, I know a lot of time, because people have been oppressed like African Americans have, they can't help from thinking that there's something different about them. You can't help it. Yeah, because it gets embedded up here. And so when we start thinking we are different, we start acting different. We wonder why the young men in the inner city is killing one another. It's what's happened to them, how they have been brought up in this society, that they don't understand there is no difference between human beings. I read a little article one time. It was talking about Japanese who were born of American soldiers during the Second World War. And the point they made is that these descendants of African Americans, we might say normally was the criminals of Japan. Because they were treated as if they were different. Because the Japanese was a homogeneous society, meaning they all kind of look alike, had the same customs. So when you interject someone who don't look like them, they treat them different. But if one of them would come to America, because some of them didn't look any different sometime than most Japanese, but they knew their history. Many of them, when they came to America, excelled because they wasn't carrying that burden of racism. Are you getting it? Racism is a burden to carry. Now look at Galatians 3:26. And God's people need to be free. Y'all don't want us to be free. But we have the evangelical conservative who has made racism their mantra. And they have almost legitimized that in God's church, there are folks that's better than other folks. And God is white. And therefore he's impartial to white people. Yeshua is white with blonde eyes, blue eyes and blonde hair. And therefore he is impartial to those with the same look as him. I know, look, this on me. to say this. We have to preach this. We have to make a record of this. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. For ye are all the children of Yahweh by faith in Mashiach Yeshua. For as many of you as have been baptized into Yeshua, how many of you have been baptized? You know what baptized into Yeshua means? You were baptized in His name. Just read the Bible and you'll find out that's what this means. Have put on Yeshua. So here's what he's trying to say. As many who have come to God in Yeshua and have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost have taken on new clothing. They are not like any other people in the universe. They are a new creature. They are new creation, created in God. So therefore, when you are baptized into the kingdom, you cease to identify by earthly races and understand that we all are the children of Yahweh in Mashiach Yeshua, called in His name. For there is neither, 28th verse, for there is neither Yehudi nor Greek, restating it again, right? But going to go a little farther now. There is neither bond nor free. There's neither slave nor free man or women. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Mashiach. What does one mean? No matter what your ethnic background is, when you get in Yeshua, you're all what? No matter where you come from, no matter how you look, now you are one. See, we got this idea that the church is divided in a natural sense like people are divided in a natural sense. But in God, there is but one people. His people. There is but one ethnic group, and they are called the sons and daughters of Yahweh. And there is no distinction between them. And if you are, and if ye be Mashiachs, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, that should settle it, right? Now that should settle it. There is no race in God. But the apostles went on further than that, because folks started still adding races. I mean, adding races, not saying a person is racist, but I'm trying to say races, different races. Colossians 3. I have to give you all this. You need to know this. You need to be aware of this. Colossians 3, 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. And this new is meaning new not in time, but different. You're a different person. You have put on the new man, which is renewed, and not new, which has been made new, are different in Mashiach. So you have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image or the icon or the expression of Yahweh himself, of him that created him. So you're actually taking on the expression of God. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, see that again, Yehudim, circumcision nor uncircumcision, he took away that, barbarians, Scythians, bond not free, but Mashiach is all and in all. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm not African American. I am a member of the family of Yahweh, a new species created in Mashiach. Hallelujah. See, no matter where we are, no matter what color we are, no matter what ethnic background we are, we should understand that if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, and if you have been baptized into Yeshua in his name, that we are the same. We should be coming together no matter where we are in the world. But because we have believed this damnable heresy that some people are better than other people, the world is, and the United States is now becoming a leader of racism. The president stood up the other day and said about this African-American senator, that he's coming from a place that he's rat infested. This is how they look at us. We all come from rat infested places. Now, I'm not just talking about African-American. Look what they're doing to Hispanics. Put them in caves like animals. Huh? You know why? Because they don't matter. They are less than them. And so they can take away their babies and let them die. It doesn't really matter. We, the superior race, has a right to do anything we want to do. Doesn't matter what part of the world you're from. You came from the same source. There's no one source for Hispanics and one source for Africans and one source for Caucasian. We all come from the same source. Environment made a change in us. But we're from Adam and Eve. We're all from Adam and Eve. Now that we got that straight, how much time do I have? The apostles followed Yeshua's example. Remember last week, I showed you how Yeshua was very careful to document the truth the apostles followed that same example, that no matter where you are, when the truth appears, you're going to know that it's truth because it's documented as truth. So let's look at Acts of the Apostle. Remember, Shaul says, I have to keep you in remembrance, lest you forget. So Acts 2. And I'm putting this in your remembrance. This is something everybody should know. It's so plain that a fool wouldn't err in the way. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with another tongue as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the founding of the church. This is the founding of the church. They were waiting for the promise. Yeshua said to them, do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power to be a witness of me. And so they're all waiting there in Jerusalem. They're praying and praising God. And suddenly, there came a sound as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the room where they were sitting. And there appeared unto each of them cloven tongue like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in another tongue, a tongue that was not their own, as the Spirit gave them utterance. At Tyros, they began to speak in a different tongue, a tongue that was not of their birth, a tongue that was not an earthly tongue, but a heavenly tongue, that all the children of Yahweh in Mashiach Yeshua learned the tongue. You get it? Because we are a new creation, because we are a new creation, because we are in a new family, we all have to have a new tongue. Look at Acts 2:37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Kepha preached the gospel of how they had killed Yeshua, and said unto Kepha and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Kepha said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua Mashiach. I know it reads here Jesus Christ, and that's what has turned the church world into what we see today. There is no such name, Jesus, in history. There has never been a man named Jesus in history. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. There's a Jesus in Hispanic. No. His name is not Jesus. The name they call Jesus in Hispanic is Jesus. It's not Jesus. No one knows where this name Jesus came from. It didn't appear until about 1613, long after the apostles' period. Nobody knows. But we know what Yahweh sent the angel to say to Joseph, And she will have a child, and you shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sin. Well, you know, Apostle Walton, you get political. I'm not political at all. I'm Bible. Capable of saying to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua Mashiach, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that is afar off. Notice, all that is afar off. You know what afar off meant? To the Yehudim, you were not part of them. They called everybody who was a Gentile, those who are afar off. They can't know God, don't know God, will never know God. Another, our God, they would say. They are afar off. God said, you're wrong. For all of those that are what? And to all that are what? Afar off, as many as Yahweh, our God, has called. Everybody. But you don't remain in the ethnic group that you were in. Now, it doesn't mean you immediately you're switched out of that ethnic group into something. No. It means that you know who you are now. You know who you are now. Now, for the promises unto you and your children and to all that are far off, as many as Yahweh our God shall call. 19th verse. I'm rushing now. I'm trying to get it all in, and I will. This tape and the book that I'm writing will be here for a long time if Yeshua tarry. And there will come a day that all of those who want to be saved will come to Yeshua. And they will realize what error they have made. I'm not teaching you something that you cannot prove. Search history and find Jesus. You won't find him. He never existed. But search the Hebrew language and find Yeshua. You'll find him. You'll find him. 19:1. And it came to pass. Now, most of you know this. But I'm going to put you in remembrance of what it means to be saved. What is the truth of salvation? And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Shaul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples there, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now look here. These people were talking about Yeshua. They were not baptized in Yeshua's name, but they were talking about Yeshua. What did they get it from? They got it from John the Baptist. John the Baptist told them that Yeshua was to come. Right? He says, I'm just a forerunner. So John the Baptist baptized them unto repentance, waiting for Mashiach. And so Shaul kind of figured something was wrong here. They were talking about Yeshua, but there was something missing. So he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. See, Johanan didn't have that message. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? Who baptized you? See, he wanted you to know this because if they had been baptized by an apostle, They should have been baptized in Yeshua's name. So he says, who baptized you? And they said, unto Johanan's baptism. Then says Shaul, Johanan verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Mashiach, Yeshua. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Yahushua. When they heard the truth, you didn't have to argue with them. They immediately submitted to baptism in the name of Yeshua. And when Shaul had laid his hands up on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They all now have been baptized into the name of Yeshua. They all now speak with tongues. They are now new creatures in Yahweh. Now I'm going to end it with this. Ephesians 4. If you find people preaching any other gospel, let them be a curse. Let them be Maranatha. Ephesians 4:2. Might as well read 1. I therefore, the prisoner of Yeshua, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Yahweh, you will know a Christian, a true believer, because a true believer loves. Johanan would say in 1 Johanan, if a man say he loves God and hate his brother, he's a liar and do not know how to tell the truth. How can I hate anyone, especially those who are baptized into the name of Yeshua and filled with the Holy Ghost? How can I hate them? I love them. They are my brothers and my sisters. And if I say I love God and hate one of them, I'm the liar, not God. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring or working hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, here's the kicker. Fourth verse. There is 10 bodies. There is how many bodies?
One
body. There is not a Baptist body, a Methodist body, a Catholic body, a Presbyterian body, a Pentecostal body. There is how many bodies?
One
body in Yeshua. There's one body and one what?
Spirit.
One Holy Ghost. That's a big S, I mean the Holy Ghost. There's one Holy Ghost. And if you say you got the Holy Ghost and didn't speak in tongue, you do not have the one Holy Ghost. One Spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling. Hope is a favorable expectation. If you're called and you hope to be saved, there's only one hope. One Yeshua, says this Lord here. One Yeshua, one faith, one faith. Not a Baptist. That's why this, our name is not Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost. Our name is this Christian Community Centers. I mean a place of meeting of believers. You know why? There is no Baptist faith. There is no Presbyterian faith. There is no Catholic faith. There's just one faith, and that's the faith in Yeshua. And those who are baptized in his name and filled with his spirit speaking in tongues. There's only one faith. One baptism. How will you? Well, I've been baptized one time. I've been baptized already, but there's only one baptism. Folks can baptize you all they want to, but there's only one baptism. You know, during the Tertullian time when all of this stuff was going on, who's in the church and all that, after 325 A.D., he had a philosophy, they baptize you three times. Once in the Father, once in the Son, and once in the Holy Ghost. How many bodies are there?
One.
There's one body of Yeshua. How many spirits are there?
One
spirit, the Holy Spirit. How many hopes are there?
One
hope. One hope. Yeah, say that again. God have mercy on the church and the church world and on the world as a whole because of the error and the lie and the hatred. One Yeshua, one faith, one baptism, one God. When I was teaching a few months ago, one way to God, that's all I was trying to emphasize. There's no two ways to God. There's no three ways to God. There's not your way and my way. There's just one way. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. Why am I here preaching these kind of messages? Because God is saying, Yahweh is saying, I'm going to bring my name back because I'm tired of my name being blasphemed. Yeshua Yahu 48. This is Yahweh speaking. Ninth verse. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger. And for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. Yahweh said, it's only because of my name that I'm not cutting these folks off. Behold, I have refrained thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the fire of affliction, the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even for my own sake. Listen to Yahweh. Yahweh is emphasizing. For my own sake, even for my own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? God said, I will cut you off, but for my name's sake. And how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. (Clears throat) said, I will not give my glory. Don't call me Jesus. How dare you? I would have cut you off if it wasn't for my name's sake. But I cannot allow my name to be polluted all this time. And my glory, I will not give to another. Hearken unto me, O Yaakov and Israel, my call. I am he. I am the first, and I'm also the last. Who is that talking? Yeshua. That's Yeshua talking now. Hearken unto me, O Yaakov and Israel, my name, my call. I am he. I am the first. I am the last. In other words, after me, there is no other. There's nobody but me. And I will give my glory. I will not give my glory. I will not give my glory to another. The kingdom of Yahweh is resurrected now. And the kingdom is speaking to the people of the church and the world. I will not allow any longer my name to be polluted or blasphemed. I'm he, and I'm the first, and I'm the last. You don't hear me, you ain't got no other chance. Because I'm the first and I'm the last. Yes. Yes. The apostles baptized in my name, you're going to have to end up baptizing in my name. Because I'm the first and I'm the last. And it is I am he, Yeshua. I'm the first and the last. Bow your head. Father Yahweh.